I'd ask you if you want to read along. I'm going to read out of the 5th chapter of John and then take our thought out of the 27th chapter of Acts. And please pray for me during this. But John, I've told you a lot this week. I love his writing. And boy, there's going to come a day, I promise you, I'm going to look the Apostle John right in the eyes and say thank you. Thank you. The scripture's good. All of it is God-breathed. I realize that. But I don't know. Something about John hooks up with my spirit probably more than a lot of other writings. And all of it's rich, don't get me wrong. But, well, there's something about John. John, and I think it's because the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they were written earlier, and John was written much later. And you got to realize about 60 years or 50 or 60 years had passed since these events happened, and they were just as fresh in his mind. I believe the Lord meant something to John. I really do. I believe in such a way that no wonder when the Lord was on the cross, he said, John, take care of my mama. And so the Lord loved him, and I do too. John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of all the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now in a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. Amen. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Acts chapter 27, I'd planned on reading this and not reading John at all just till about 5 minutes ago, but I'm just going to say for time, read one verse, actually a few verses in it, but not as much as I'd intended. Acts 27, verse 20 says, And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And I really want to take my thought out of the 20th verse of the 27th chapter of Acts, and it says, All hope that they should be saved was then taken away. And if God would help me tonight, I want to preach to you something I'm going to call hope for the hopeless. And tonight I realize I've thought about hope for months. I've been talking about it and thinking about it and studying about it and hope and faith. And my friends, you are living in a time now when it's sad and people are losing hope. And if you have no hope, then you really don't have anything at all. And I thought about what the great patriarch Abraham, what Paul wrote of him. He said, against hope, he believed in hope. And so tonight, hope for the hopeless is what I'm going to try to preach. And at this time that Luke wrote that chapter of Acts, and at this time Paul had been assured. There was a time that Paul stood in between the Pharisees and Sadducees. He stood stood there, and the Bible says the two nearly tore him in two and tore him apart. And it was about that time in the 23rd chapter of Acts that God said, Paul, fear not. Just as you've witnessed before me in Jerusalem, so shall you also do in Rome. And so Paul kept appealing unto Caesar. He stood before Festus and Felix and finally King Agrippa. And the Bible says that Paul would have actually been let go had he not appealed to Caesar. And so Paul could have been a free man, but instead of taking that freedom, he chose to be a prisoner because God wanted him to go to Rome. And so in the 27th chapter, they enter into this boat, and Paul was a prisoner. And I like what Luke wrote there. He didn't say people. He said there was 200 and maybe 79 souls on board. I want you to understand tonight, you've got a soul. And from the moment you were conceived, there will never be an end to your soul. It'll continue on long past this life. Long after that we're dead and gone, our souls will go on. And so he said there were souls on board this ship. And they set out sailing, taking these prisoners to Rome. And Paul was a God-fearing man. And for some reason, a centurion gave Paul liberty to go out with his friends. And so Paul had liberty to do that. And they came into a port and they changed boats and got on another one. And Paul said when they started out, he said, listen, Paul had been shipwrecked 3 times. Men might have ought to listen to what Paul had to say. He had sailed up and down that stretch, no doubt, many times. And Paul said, sirs, I don't think we ought to venture on right now. But it said they listened to the captain and the owner and the master of the ship more than they listened to Paul. And they set sail and they sailed anyway. And it said the winds began to be favorable and a south wind began to blow. And so they started out on their journey. But long, it said, not long after that, a great tempest called Euroclydon came upon them. And so I'm going to try to hurry through this, but a great tempest began to blow and men began to get scared and they started casting things out of the ship. You listen to me tonight. When the Spirit of God comes upon a lost sinner, you know what our first thought is. I'll just cast this sin out of my life and I'll cast that one out of my life. I'm going to tell you tonight, you can cast everything out and still die lost and go to hell. My friends, tonight, it don't matter what we get shed of. It's all about what we receive tonight, and that is the Spirit of the living God. And so they begin to cast things out of this ship, and it said that men begin to get frightened, and it said 14 days had passed. Now, you got to remember, they didn't have any compasses in those days. They sailed by the sight of the stars and the sun and the moon, and it said 14 days had came and gone, and there was no stars, there was no sun, there was no moon. I mean, just out there, I've been on a cruise ship once, and we sailed between 3 hurricanes, and my friend, that big boat began to rock, and I can't imagine what this little vessel that they were on, going from Egypt into Rome is what a vessel that they were on, coming out of Alexandria in Egypt, and going into Rome. And so they began to get scared. 14 days had came and they had gone, and men feared for their lives. And then Luke said, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. I mean, they lost hope. I don't know how it is with you tonight, but I believe there's been some, maybe not in this church, but maybe some in Lafayette, maybe some here, that I begin to lose hope that things will ever happen. And my friend, if you lose that hope, you really ain't got anything left. And so tonight there is hope for the hopeless, and all hope was taken away. But the Bible said that there came a night, and Paul prayed with God all night, and I believe he woke up the next morning, and he said, sirs, you should have listened to me. Let me just stop right there. You might ought to pay attention to what the man of God has to say. I mean, we're up here, and God has called us to do this, and if I'm just a man on the street, you don't pay any attention to me or any other man, but when it's God's man, you better. better listen. And so Paul said, you should have just listened to me and not have sailed forth. But nevertheless, you didn't listen and you found yourself in a mess. He said, but I want you to understand that there was an angel, the Lord come by me last night. And he said, Paul, don't fear. He said, remember how I already told you, I want you to go into Rome. And now God wouldn't put him on a ship that was going to sink. God assured Paul, you're going to Rome and I'm going to get you there. And he said that, why don't you take some food and eat and drink? He said, for an angel of the Lord, whose I am. You realize tonight, church, if you've been saved by grace, you've been bought with a price. And you are his. He is. You see, there's a lot of people tonight that want him as Savior, but they don't want him as Lord and Master. My friend, if you've been saved, he's your Lord and he's your Master. And he owns you. And you're bought with a price. And Paul said, I believe God, and there shall not a hair of your head perish. And I'm not going to go on with that story. It's a good one if you continue on. I want to talk about what I read there. Hope for the hopeless. All hope was taken away that we should ever be saved. I've watched them at Lafayette come night after night in revival for 5 or 6 years now, a spring revival, summer revival. I have no doubts they want to be saved. There may be some of you, I don't know, me and Jeff has not talked about it. There may be some of you that's came to this altar time after time after time. Now, let me tell you about a story about a man in John chapter 5. The Bible said for 38 years, my friend, this man had been in this condition. For 38 years, he was impotent. He couldn't walk, lame in his feet. But you see, it says there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a little pool at Bethesda. You know what Bethesda means in the Hebrew tongue? It means house of mercy. I like that. My friend, this tonight is a house of mercy. And so this man, I said at this house of mercy, I don't know how long you'd been there, but you got to realize that the Lord at this time, as far as human age was concerned, he was only about 31 or 32 years old. And this man had been in this condition 38 years. Now, what does that mean, preacher? I believe that somewhere, my friend, off in the concourse of heaven where God abides, I believe he told his son, hey, when you go down there, don't forget about this man. He was already there before Christ was ever born. And so, my friend, don't you dare lose hope. He didn't forget about him. He's not forgot about your lost either. He's not forgot about you. Your job tonight is to bring them to the house of mercy and wait for God to pass by. And so that's what this man did. He went to this house of mercy. He went to this pool. And it said the porches were full. My friend, tonight, as I look out of this vast congregation, I don't know how many lost are here, but just by the sheer number, I believe there's many. I believe the porches are full tonight of people that's gathered at the house of mercy. And the porches are full. And it said at a certain season, an angel came down. I don't know that they ever saw the angel. And they would just watch these pools. And it said at a certain season, an angel would come down and begin to trouble the water. I'm thankful tonight that we serve a God who lets his spirit pass by in his house of mercy and stirs his people up from time to time. And this man sat there for 38. I don't know how long he'd been there. He had been in that condition 38 years. And at a certain season, an angel would come down and just trouble the water. And whichever one was first into that water was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Could you imagine a place like that upon this earth in the house of mercy, my friend, tonight? And so the porches were just full of people. And no doubt, time after time, I believe what the man said, the Lord came on the scene. The Lord came to the house of mercy. He looked out at those porches. But I want you to realize they were full. The porches were full. He came for one man. You realize the night that I got saved, there were about 7 billion people on this earth. And he passed by everybody and he came to me.
Ye realize that tonight, that Brad has told you this week, no man cometh unto him except the Father which sent me draw him. And so tonight, it's not just we go to God. He's got to draw you. And out of 7 billion people, some way or another, he came unto me. A little boy in Bug Tussle, Kentucky, with nothing, he came to me. He sought me out. He sought this man out at the house of mercy. Didn't matter that the porches lay full. He came for one. Can I tell you something tonight? If he begins to deal with your heart, you know what that means? He's come for you tonight in the house of mercy. And so this man sat there, and I can imagine, but I believe he was there every time. I believe he'd crawl, have his little mat that he carried around, couldn't walk. I believe he drug it out there, brother. I believe he drug it as close as he could. And every time a glimmer of hope would come in his eyes, I believe he watched that pool day in and day out until his eyesight grew dim. And when he saw the bubbling of that water, he started to make his move. But every time he started to make it, there was somebody quicker than him. And they would get into that pool before him, and he wouldn't get healed. What do you mean that tonight, preacher? I mean that no doubt that there are some of you that begin to lose heart because you've came to this place time after time after time after time, and you've probably seen others come one time and step in front of you and get what you've been seeking all of these years. That's what happened to this man. But you know, to his credit, he could have just said, it ain't no use. I'm going to go back and die at home. I'm never going to get better. I'm never going to get healed. There's always going to be somebody faster than me, somebody quicker than me, somebody a little more able. For some reason, I can't get there, and everybody else can. It'd have been awfully easy for him to just say, I can't get there. I'm just going to go on back. My friend, you take that attitude, you'll die lost. But this man, year after year and day after day and month after month, I don't care. There was a glimmer of hope that he still clung to. And so the Lord came on the scene one day, walking amidst those porches, and he looked down, and he remembered the promise, I believe, that he promised to his father, that I'm going to remember this man when I get there. And 32 years later or so, he came to the house of mercy, and he found that man. And you know what he said? I believe, brother, it said he looked down at him and just asked him a question. Will you be made whole? Now, my friend, what kind of question is that? Of course. Who would say no to that? But I believe he asked you more than, do you want to be made whole? He said, will you? Remember what the brother preached the other night? You got to be willing to hear what God says. He said, are you willing? Are you willing to be made whole? I don't know about you. I believe the Lord was smiling. I believe he looked down at him, Brad. I believe he smiled and said, do you want to be whole? There was something in the look of his eyes. That man had no reason to trust him. But you know what he said? He said, sir, I have no man. Boy, ain't that the truth. There is nobody that'll help me. He said, I've been sitting here all these years, and there is nobody that loves me enough to put me in the water before them. My friends, you are living in a dog-eat-dog world. And that's the way it is now. And that's the way it was then. And there was no man to help him to get what he needed. But when the Lord came by, he said, sir, I have no man. But my friend, there was something in the eyes of Jesus Christ when he looked down, smiled at him, and said, don't you worry about that. Do you want to be whole? Tonight, my friends, this church loves you. These brethren love you. These sisters love you. But there comes a moment in time. We can't help you get that. We can't put you in that pool. But there is one that'll come to you just like he did me, just like he did the man in the house of mercy. Sought him out among everybody there in those porches. He said, forget about all of them. I know you say you have no man, but I'm giving you the invitation. Do you want to be healed? And so tonight, do you want to be saved? Do you really want to be saved? I believe that man wanted it more than anything in his life. I believe for 38 years he had been there. He watched this one come. I watched that one come. Maybe the first day somebody came into those porches and they were a little better off physically than he was. Jumped right down in front of him. I believe there were times he got so close just to have somebody else get it. There is hope for the hopeless. I thought about, there was a time that the Lord had just went on the Lake of Gennesaret, and he come out, and there was a man that met him, an unclean man out of the tombs. Men had give up hope on him. He had a family at home. You learn that a little bit later. He had a family at home, and he said no man could tame him. He was possessed. The Lord said, what is thy name? And the man said, my name is Legion, for we are many. It said he wear no clothes. He made his home in the graveyard, walking among the tombs, and naked, and no man could bind him. And my friend, he'd break every chain, and he just stayed there naked among the tombs. And my friend, the Lord came on the scene. He healed that man in Mark chapter 5, and the Bible said that hopeless man in that hopeless condition, everybody'd give up on, he lived by himself in a tomb. It said when the apostles saw him, he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. There is hope. You get on in that chapter of Mark, and you know what you find? You find what's already been said a time or two this week. There was a woman with an issue of blood 12 years, spent everything she had. She wasn't any better but worse. How long have you been seeking the Lord? You say, preacher, I ain't no better now than I was when I started. I'm telling you tonight, there is hope for the hopeless tonight. And it's all got to do with the man of God in the house of mercy. And so, you know that story. I'm not going to re-preach that. But what you don't mind not realize is she wasn't the first one there. There was one came to him right before she did, and his name was Jairus. And he said, Lord, I've got a little girl at home. She's 12 years old, and she's dying. He said, would you come? I know. You see, I think maybe that man at Bethesda sitting in those porches had heard about Jesus, heard about his healing power. A word had begun to spread, and old Jairus had caught wind of a man named Jesus that could do things no man could do. And he said, would you come? My little 12-year-old girl, she's all I got. And me and her mother love her. Would you come? If anybody can heal her, it's got to be you. And he said, I'll come. And while they were on their way, here comes the woman with an issue of blood. And poor old Jairus was forgot about, it seemed. And that woman stepped right in front of his little girl. She stepped in front of a 12-year-old that lay dying. And the Bible said she crawled, or didn't say crawled, I believe she did. And she latched hold of the master's robe of his garment, and immediately she was made whole. What did it say about the man at Bethesda when he said, take up your bed and walk? There was something in that sound from the Son of God. How could this man take up his bed and walk? He already told him, I can't even get to the pool. How can I take up my bed? My friend, God grants you the faith. In that time, it don't come the night that I got saved. It didn't come from anything in here. God granted me repentance and he granted me faith. Amen. Your brother said a while ago, you know how I got it. A brother, just like you, I tried everything else. And when I come down to it, there couldn't no man. I had no man. No man. And finally, you just surrender into the arms of the Lord. And that's when he saves you. And it said, take up your bed and walk. And immediately he took up his bed after 38 years and walked. There is hope for the hopeless tonight. But while that woman was being healed of her issue of blood, the Bible said the Lord stopped. And he said, who touched me? And she trembling came down before. You know what I think? He knew exactly who it was. Then why did he say that? Why did he say that? He wanted her to give her testimony. He wanted her to know. And my friend, if she had never said a word, as she had been like many of us tonight, as she'd have went back home doubting everything that happened, thinking maybe that disease was going to come back. But my friend, when she put that word to it, she realized that it really happened, that something real had happened to her. It said she felt it. Immediately she felt it. She felt she was healed of that plague. So he said, "Who touched me?" And she come down trembling before him. And you got to realize, he was traveling in a throng of people. Everybody was touching him. But the touch of faith is different than any other touch. He said, "No, I know all these men are touching me, and we're in a crowd and in the press. I'm not talking about that. Somebody touched me different, because virtue's gone out." And that's when she said, "Lord, it was me. It was me." And my friend, I don't think she ever had a doubt. She went back home and she rejoiced, knowing what he had done for her. But you see, while all of that was taking place, that 12-year-old girl got worse. While all of that was taking place, "Preacher, I've tried to be saved. I've went to that altar year after year, night after night. And my friend, it's just not happening. Preacher, God ain't never going to save me. I begin to lose hope." You're in the house of mercy. There is hope for the hopeless. There was a man came up to Jairus right after this. And he said, "Trouble not the master. Your daughter's dead." You talk about crushed. Crushed in his soul. Why do you say that, preacher? Yes, his little girl was dead. I don't know about you. If it'd been my little girl, you know what I'd have said? "I was here first. I had your attention before. If you hadn't stopped for that other woman, my daughter would be alive. You promised me you was going to come to my house." There may be some mamas and daddies that get discouraged because other people's children have got saved and yours are still lost. Let me tell you something tonight. He hadn't forgot about her. And he hadn't forgot about you. He hadn't forgot about his. He didn't forget about Jairus' little girl. And he ain't forgot about your little girl. If it'd been me, I'd have been some kind of ill. And so I was here first. And you know what Jesus said? He said, "If you'll just believe, if you'll just believe, if you'll only believe." They got to her house and they said, "It's no use. She's dead." They were having a funeral outside. There were mourners and weepers crying in the street. And Jesus said, "The father and mother come with me. James, Peter, and John, you come with me." And he went up into that little girl's bedroom. At 12 years old, she lay there dead. And he laid down and he said, "Young lady, arise." And she rose from the dead. There is hope for the hopeless. It ain't so-and-so's fault that they got saved and you didn't. I'm telling you tonight, I don't know the reasons for that. But God's not forgot. And he'll save all that come to him by the way of faith. I thought as we were singing a song while ago, "Thank you, Lord." I told you this the other night. There are times I just want to thank him. I just want to get to him. I just want to enter into the portals of glory and bow down and kiss his blessed feet. And I thought as you were singing that, I thought of that. And I thought it ain't no wonder in John chapter 12, a woman by the name of Mary anointed his feet and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Why did she do that? Because he gave her hope when it was a hopeless situation. The Bible said he loved her, and he loved her sister Martha, and he loved their brother Lazarus. And it said he loved them, a certain family that he loved. Aren't you thankful for friends on this earth? I mean, I think they were a friend to him, and I think he was a friend to them. I think every time he went through Bethany, he had to stop and see Lazarus and Mary and Martha. I believe they cooked him supper. I believe he stayed at their house. I believe they loved this man, and they thought that he loved them. And so when the time came that Lazarus got sick, Jesus was off somewhere else. And the Bible said that Martha sent word unto him and said, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now in her mind, there was nothing else she needed to say. She believed that Jesus loved her brother and she didn't even ask him to come. She thought, surely, I don't even have to ask that. When he hears that Lazarus is sick, he'll drop everything and he'll run back to Bethany. And my friend, he didn't even have to be there. Do you understand that? Well, he just spoke the word from miles away and healed everybody. But she knew that Lazarus was special, or at least she thought he was, that Jesus loved Lazarus and loved them. And she said, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. And surely that's all she'd need to say. And my friend, the messenger got there and told him, Lord, I've got word from Martha. Lazarus is sick. The man that you love, he's sick. And Jesus just stood there. And two more days, he just stood there waiting. He didn't come. He didn't run back to Bethany. And Lazarus died. Can you imagine that? Lazarus died. And there was Mary and Martha. I really thought that he loved us. I really thought that when he heard that Lazarus was sick, they buried their brother, buried him. He wasn't coming back. He was dead as the millions had died before him and the millions since him. He was dead and buried. And they had to be thinking, he didn't even come to the funeral. That's the least that he could have done. We've been good to him. I really thought that he loved us. Let me tell you something, church. There are times you can get your feelings hurt. There are times that the devil will tell you just what he told them. He don't care about you. If he cared about you, your children would be saved. He don't care about you. I believe that's what he told Mary and Martha. He didn't even come to the funeral. We've cooked him dinner. He stayed in our beds, stayed in our homes. He didn't come and heal him, didn't even come to the funeral. They had no idea. He had something better planned. Tonight, I don't know the mind of God, but I trust him that he's got something glorious planned for Hilltop Missionary Baptist Church. The problem is we lose hope. We don't stay at the house of mercy. If it don't happen when we want it to happen, we just turn tail and go home and die. But that man at the pool, I'm going to stay day after day waiting for the bubbling of that pool, waiting, waiting, waiting. And then mercy appeared. And so many times I think people are so close to what they're seeking after and they just give up. Just quit. Just quit and go back home and they die lost and they end up in hellfire. He didn't even come to the funeral. Jesus told his apostles, Lazarus is dead. And they said, let's go and die with him. That was doubting Thomas, by the way. He wasn't always doubting Thomas. He was a man of faith and an apostle. And my friend, he said, let's go die with him. And Jesus, they started their journey. And he got a little ways off. And the Bible said that word come to Martha. Martha, the master's coming. And you know what she did? I believe she was angry and full of faith. You say, how can you be both? Well, you listen to what she did. I know you love the Lord tonight if you've been saved. But I believe there are times you get your feelings hurt that he's not helped your daughter and son the way he's helped other people. That's our human side. And Martha ran to him, full of faith. She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. She believed with all of her heart, had faith that he was the Christ. He could have healed her brother. But she also was angry and a little bit hurt and said, if you'd been here, he wouldn't be dead. And it's your fault because he's dead. That's the way I interpret that. Full of faith with a little bit of hurt feelings and a little bit of anger because her brother was dead. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, she looked upon him. He said, "Thy brother shall rise again." And she said, "I know." She was full of faith. "I know he'll rise at the last day. I know that. I know he'll be in glory. I know I'll see him again there." He said, "Martha, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And whosoever believeth in me shall never die. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe that?" And she said, "Yes, Lord." And he said, "I'll show you the glory." Word came to Mary, "The master's calling for you." Mary said the same thing her sister did. If you had been here, he wouldn't be dead. There was no hope. He was gone. He was dead. There's always hope for the hopeless when he's there. He said, "You take me to this tomb. Show me his grave." And she said, "Lord, you don't understand. He's been dead 4 days. By this time he stinketh." I don't believe he was embalmed and sitting in a funeral home like we know today at Anderson's, Alexander's, wherever you have plans to go to. My friend, in that hot, arid humidity, in that desert land, I believe she was telling the truth. I believe he stunk. Listen to me tonight, sinner friend. You are dead in sin. You are lost and separated from God, and a dead man cannot make himself alive. Amen. There is nothing that you can do until the time comes when he comes searching on your porch and he calls your name. He went to that tomb and the Bible said Jesus wept. And they said, "Oh, how he loved him. He wept. He wept over his friend." He said, "Roll the stone away." And they said, "Lord, he stinks. He's been dead." And he said, "And I tell you, you'd see the glory of God. Roll the stone away." And he called forth, as the kids sang the other night, the voice of God brought a dead man back to life. Amen. If you're lost, there is nothing on earth that you can do to not be dead, to not be lost, until his voice calls for you. They opened the tomb and rolled back the stone, and he just cried out, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth. We saw that about right here Sunday night. He called it a new birth. Dead in trespasses, dead in sin. But when he spoke her name, like nobody spoke her name, and he said, "Come forth," and she came, and she lives. Hope for the hopeless. I'm about done. But there's one more thing I've got to say. 2,000 years ago, on a hill called Golgotha, a band of men and women watched their world crucified. You can read in Luke chapter 23 or 24, whichever it is, that the third day their world was in shambles. They were walking along real sad, and Jesus came by and they didn't know his hand. Sometimes he can be so close and you don't even know he's anywhere there. And they came and he said, "Why are you so sad?" And they said, "Are you just a stranger? Do you not understand what's happened here? Do you not understand that our world was crucified and we had thought that he was the one that we had looked for? We thought it was him." But you have to understand what they witnessed with their own eyes. You have to understand the condition they last saw him in. You have to understand that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took that bloody frame off the cross and wrapped it in linen. I believe they had to do it quick because the Passover was coming, but I believe they took such good care. I believe every little wound, I believe every little mark, I believe they got the blood off his face. I believe they cleaned his wounds on his back and his feet. I believe they did everything they could. I bound him up in spices and linen and just laid him in that tomb. There was no way. All hope was gone. The Bible said when those women came to the tomb on the third day, they came there with spices. They didn't come there to see the resurrection. They come there to see a body. There was no hope. And they thought it was really him. And their hope was dashed in pieces. We've been played the fool. We believed in this man and he's dead. And they wept until the time they got to the tomb. And the Bible said they got there and the stone had been rolled back. And they looked in and they looked around. And I think a couple of them left. If you put all gospel accounts together, you get a little picture. They left. They went to find Peter and John. And they said, he's not there. He's gone. We don't know what happened, but he's not there. And John and Peter ran. John was an humble man, but he did write that he was faster than Peter. He said, he outrun Peter. And he looked in. And Peter got there and he just ran in like Peter did. And it was true. He wasn't there. But they still thought his body was somewhere. And they left. And there was a woman named Mary Magdalene there. You talk about everything. He had healed her. He'd done for her what she couldn't do for herself. He's done for me tonight what I could not do for myself. He cast the devils out of her. And I believe her eye caught some movement in that tomb. And there was an angel there. He said, Mary, I know whom you seek, but why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. He said, you go tell my apostles. And I like how Mark says it. And Peter. Peter that just denied him. Peter that turned his back on him. You find Peter. And you tell him I want to see. My friend, the Savior revealed himself to Mary. She went and found Peter. Hope in a hopeless situation. Hope for the hopeless. Say, preacher, I've come here year after year. Year after year. What did Luke write? All hope that we should be saved was taken away. And if you're not careful, the devil will take away all hope that you could ever be right with God. Or you say, preacher, I've been confused. I've prayed. My pastor, good pastor, says to ask God, and I do. But I don't have a clear answer. I'm just going to give up. All hope that I should ever know has been taken away. But you have to remember, you're in the house of mercy. God waited 38 years. The Lord, even after he was born, waited about 32 years before he ever sought him out. Preacher, my sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters are grown. I don't care. He can seek them out. Amen. There is hope for the hopeless. But I've come and I've prayed and I've tried. I know. I don't doubt that. I've seen them at Lafayette. I don't doubt that they have repented as the best of their ability. I have no doubts about that. I've saw tears. I've heard their wails and their cries and their screams, and they'll repent. Repentance itself will not save you. You can't get saved without it. But repentance itself won't save you. There has to be faith.
Amen.
That man at Bethesda's pool, and I promise you I'm done. That man at Bethesda's pool, this man said unto him, rise, take up your bed and walk. He had to have faith. And when he believed what Jesus said, he rose, took up his bed, and he walked home. You have to believe tonight. Repentance and faith. We believe as Baptists they are inseparable graces. Inseparable graces that God grants both, and we are worthy of neither. Lazarus couldn't do anything. He was dead. Lost sinner, you're dead. A dead man cannot bring himself back to life. But when that still small voice comes knocking and says what he said to Lazarus, come, 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 then is the time.
when he's dealing with your heart, there is hope for the hopeless tonight. God bless you. Come ahead with a song.